Hello, friends. Pastor Steve is on a much-needed break today, so we are blessing him and Cammie. We are blessing you with all the fullness of Jesus and love and joy and infilling. So, yep, you get me. Let's pray. Holy One, I'm so excited to keep hearing you through your beautiful, amazing children. I love the way you are so creative. You are so expressive. You are so varied in all the ways that you show up in your kids, Lord. And I thank you for the richness that you pour out on us through your love. I thank you that you are love and that this whole earth project is about love, God. So Holy Spirit, come give us that sloppy wet kiss tonight. Come and lavish love all over us. Soften us up and make us pliable for new wine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hi, y'all. So Pastor said, will you continue the love marriage and much more into Wednesday night? I said, sure. He goes, what's your topic? And I'm like, give me a second, please hold. The hilarity of love. He's like, great, what a great title. I'm like, I know, shoot. Now I got to try and be funny. Oh, bad idea. I'm missing my straight guy. Ryan is the one who's funny, right? He's the one who just kind of, I like dance around like a parrot. He opens his mouth. Everyone starts laughing. Kind of like you, Juanine. You were killing us on Saturday. Oh, my stars. It was pretty fun and pretty funny. I want to encourage all of you. Whether you're married, single, divorced, widowed, wherever you find yourself, please go back and see Saturday. On the website, it was called Love, Marriage, and Much More. There were three sessions, multiple speakers, every single one of them so rich. I got so much out of every single couple that spoke. It was so powerful. I want to invite you to go back there. Go back to last Wednesday when Petey and Noel and Jordan and Aubrey spoke. Because it's this beautiful thread of the body of Christ across the board. Because what is God after? He wants a girl for his son that he's excited to give him. And that's us. Right? We're being molded and fashioned. I love the song New Wine because we can't become a new vessel unless the Holy Spirit comes and he molds us and he fashions us. And that's why he gave us the title for the conference in the fall, Holy Spirit, come. Not because he's got to come. He's already here. He's saying, I'm here, you come. I'm here, you come. I'm going to show up and do great things. Come, don't miss it. And then as we become the bride, as we become Jesus, we start shouting with them, come. And then those who hear us start shouting, come. And we start calling them in. And we are looking forward to a new harvest, a harvest of multiple souls. The same night as the Friday night of our conference, Fields of Faith is going to be going on at Birmingham High in the Valley. They got funded. We're super excited. They are yelling, come. They're calling in the harvest. We're calling in the harvest. And that's why this whole summer has been the summer of love. Because unless we are rooted and grounded in love, we're not going to be a very good basket for the fruit God's bringing. Because they're going to come in some really fun iterations, right? So, Pastor was talking about go back, see Sunday. Just keep going back. Just keep watching. Eat this food. Get it in you. It's really good. It's really powerful right now. This message is like a train, and it's building momentum. It's building momentum. It's building us into the city whose maker is God. It's building us into the bride whose husbandman is Jesus. We are being built and molded and fashioned and softened by Holy Spirit. God has got momentum going. Get on the train. Go back and watch. Go back and eat. Listen to it. Listen on your phone. Watch on your computer. Do whatever you need to do, but get it inside of you. God is speaking. He's releasing, and he's building, and he's building momentum and excitement. And I'm just super excited about that, that I forgot what I was going to say. So where was I going? Let's see. I was over here. Where? Hilarity of love. No, it was after that. Fruit, baskets, people. Oh, the fruit that is coming. Right, that's what Pastor was talking about. So in the 60s, when the Jesus movement hit, one of the first places it hit was Calvary Chapel, Orange County, Costa Mesa. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Some of you know about Papa Chuck Smith. He became the shepherd God called to steward that movement. And they were coming by the hundreds and the thousands. And it was the hippies. Right? It was the ones that none of them ever thought would come to Jesus. Some of you got saved in that movement. Ken's like, one of my neighbors, not you, one of my other neighbors actually was in Life Magazine getting baptized. So we have a picture of her getting baptized during the Jesus movement. And it was a powerful movement. But so here was the dilemma. The hippies were showing up barefooted. And we're like, oh, wow, big deal. No, that was a big deal to the church in that day. You did not show up without shoes and a shirt. And worse yet, Calvary Chapel had just recarpeted the whole building. And we laugh, but this was a problem. The elders were going, no, you cannot come in with barefoot, dirty feet. We just recarpeted the building. You know, forget that they were smoking pot in the parking lot. But, you know, they were coming in the church with dirty feet. And Chuck, Papa Chuck, said, rip out the carpet. I will not let carpet come between the harvest and us, between God and his kingdom. This is his harvest. I'm not going to let carpet be the issue. And now, some 50 years later, 60, someone do math for me. 72,000, that's 30, 20, so 50 years. Jubilee! Okay, so, yeah, we're in the Jubilee season. And so we're able to look at carpet and go, oh, that's so silly. Of course you rip out the carpet. But what's our carpet today? We've got carpet that is going to get in between us and the harvest unless we let the Holy Spirit keep washing us. And it's so funny because I love to think I've got my act together, right? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm not going to let anything get in my way. And he's like, really? How about this over here? And you're like, oh, dang, that's an issue. Okay? For those of you who went to the prayer training for DreamFest and for our prayer ministry, Allie brought an exercise that was just brilliant. And what she did is she brought a picture, and she showed it to everyone, and it was this cute little blonde-headed kid in a shirt and a sweater with a little bob cut and his hands folded and a sweet smile. And she said, okay, everyone, I want you to prophesy over this child. And one by one, they went around, and they began to prophesy and prophesy and prophesy. It was great. And then she says, this is Ozzy Osbourne as a child. And everyone was like, what? I mean, some people didn't even know who he is, but he's like full on, you know, spit out blood, chew off animal head, heavy metal rocker. But that didn't change the word of God over his life, right? Those words are still true because every child on earth is a child of God with a destiny planned from before the beginning of time. So those words are still true. She showed another picture, and it was a young man, and he was talking to someone else. She's like, okay, prophesy over this one. And they're like, you're a culture shifter, and you're this, and you're that. And they just began to call it out and call it out. It was Fred Rogers. And they were bang on. They were bang on about who he was. Then she brought out another picture. And the young man looked Middle Eastern, very dark eyes, dark circles, dark eyebrows. And they were having trouble. They were having trouble hearing from God. Having trouble. It was Benny Hinn. But because he looked kind of scary in the picture, they didn't recognize that they were judging in their hearts. And they're like, oh, no, no, I never judge when I pray. I never judge when I pray. I just listen to the Holy Spirit. All of us have carpet, folks. All of us are human. All of us need Holy Spirit. We all need Holy Spirit. And then the last one, she turned the picture around and it was grown up Hillary Clinton. Everyone went, oh, I don't know how to pray. It's their carpet. I loved when Pastor said Sunday, not only are we going to get the gays and the homosexuals, I hope we do. I hope we do. But they're going to show up with children. They're going to show up with kids. What are we going to do? Well, I hope we're going to love, because that's what God's been telling us all stinking summer. Get rooted and grounded in love. What's so important, you know, a few years ago, the Lord said to Pastor, I'm not going to send you the harvest yet because you'll wreck them. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You will turn them into twice the sons of hell that you already are. And we're like, oh, the Pharisees. Man, the Pharisees are my homies. I get them. I know them. I'm like, I know you. I am you. You poor little sweethearts. You're so stuck on being right instead of loving. And so I get them. And so the Lord told us, I can't send you the harvest yet because you'll try to clean the fish and you'll cut their heads off. You'll choke them. But now I'm encouraged because Jesus saw fit to call this the summer of love. That's an indicator. Everything we do here has a prophetic nature. We do resurrection life. I'm like, no, he doesn't resurrect the mostly dead. It's got to be completely dead with no breath, no hope, but Lord, it stinketh. And that's what he did after resurrection life. He started killing a whole lot of things in our personal lives, in our body, in our function as a church. The Lord's just like, we're doing resurrection life. Everybody's like, yeah, I love that title. It's so inspiring. I'm like, no, I hate this title. I hate this title. I know it's coming. And it came. Kisha, kisha, kisha. And everybody's like, well, why aren't we planting anything? Because nothing's going to grow when he's killing things off. Right? If God determines the times and the seasons, there is a time for planting. There's a time for reaping. There's a time to die and a time to be born. And we went through our time to die. So if any of you have had a hard time in the last 3 years, you are in the best place right now. Because you did. You made it. You stayed faithful. You hung in there. And now the season is turning and the upswing is coming and the seeds that had to die are beginning to bear fruit. And we've got a ton of fruit around us. And I'm so excited about this fruit. And I'm so excited for you guys are here. We have so many new people coming to our church. Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because this is the best time to be alive. Because God is on the move. He's getting ready to release a harvest. And he's saying, Jubilee. Lily, this is your summer of love because I'm getting ready to bring the fruit and you're going to be rooted and grounded and bathed and saturated in love. So when they come, you're not going to freak out about the carpet. Right? Hopefully. Help, Holy Spirit. Help, Holy Spirit. Help, Holy Spirit. And you know what? Here's the great news. If you start to freak out, just go, oh, I am freaking out. Help. 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 Don't get right. Get free. I've invited some more friends today to tell you about how God has met them in joy and laughter in the midst of sorrow. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not getting it right, not having it together. It is His comfort, His love, His presence that as it comes in, we're strengthened. So Wes and Lynn, if you would come up first, I would love that. Would you welcome them, please?
Hello.
Thank you.
So, you know, I was thinking about what are we going to talk about? And I thought, well, our lives are like a series of vignettes, a series of short stories. And our short story started with
a lot of brokenness.
A lot of brokenness. We were both divorced when we met. Well, no. We were going through divorces when we met. So we came through this, our commonness was that we both were dealing with people in our lives that had, bipolar. So, you know, we're trying to navigate these relationships, and like everything is crumbling, and we found it, you know, the Lord let us find each other in that.
I was kicking and screaming because I, prior to this, had decided to change my career, and so I had left banking, I thought for good, and I started a new career, but I found that I needed to go back to the banking that I knew. And I just didn't want to do it. And I fought and fought and fought not to go. I was looking for anything else I could possibly do. But a friend of mine, I had been a manager at a bank, and a friend of mine said, well, I'll give you a job. And I thought, okay, no, I don't want to do this. But that's where my husband was. And I was resisting this. You know, it was God's provision for us, but I was resisting this season. And so in that time, you know, Wes's desk was right next to mine, and I thought he was a very serious businessman, and then we started talking, and I thought, well, he's kind of goofy, you know, he's kind of funny, you know, like, I need funny right now. And
I try not to show this side.
So I was going through a lot of stress, a lot of stuff was still in process for me. And I realized that Wes had a lot of peace that I didn't understand. And I didn't know the Lord yet. And just the way he spoke, and it was like a foreign language to me. And it was very loving and compassionate. And he had this understanding that I didn't know about. And so we talked a lot. We joked around a lot. And
then I got to lead her to the Lord.
Yeah. And I accepted the Lord.
And then a new vignette started.
What's that?
A new vignette started there, you know? So we started talking more about the Lord. And, you know, what's that all about, you know? And then, you know, the joy started coming.
Yeah.
And,
we started out with many, many, many challenges, financial ones, a lot of decisions to make, a lot of transition, a lot of constant movement and change. And
we were two broke divorcees. Broke.
Right.
I mean, church
mice. I'm thinking, now I'm going to go to church, and how do I do that? And I have two stepchildren, and I'm thinking, okay, Wes has been saved for 25 years. I'm just getting to know the Lord. I'm just getting to know the Word. The kids know more than I do. I'm really intimidated by this. But God truly brought us together and helped us heal. He helped us on the healing process, but also have the courage to continue on this journey together that has been, really highs, really a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
And then the Lord jump starts us into the prophetic. I think we were married for maybe a year or two. And we were hiding behind the soundboard at this church. And we're just doing sound, and this is a prophetic conference, and we're hoping that the guy doesn't see us. And he points us out. He says, "You two back there, come up here." And he prophesies like 10 things over us. I still have the list in my Bible. And over the years, every single one of those things came to pass. Including, remember, we're poor, poor, poor. And he says, within a year, you guys are going to buy a house.
We're like,
oh, yeah? Okay.
I can't even understand that.
What we did
and
was...
I was a brand new believer. So when we left that night, I told him, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to get a word. I don't know what this is. And on the way home, I said, what do we do with this? What do we do with these impossible things? And I also, in the brokenness of my prior marriage, I was unable to have children. And one of the prophecies was that we would have a child. And so Wes said, in his wisdom, we write down these things, put it in the Bible, we leave it up to the Lord. Okay.
And
we wait.
And we waited, and we didn't have to wait very long. Pretty soon we were being moved out of our place of residence because they were selling the place that we were renting, and we needed a place to stay. So we decided to wait till the last minute to go look for a place to rent. And the Lord shows us a house and says, buy the house with no money. So we put an offer in, and they accepted it.
This is the wildest thing. When I didn't even know that I could hear God's voice. And when I walked over first of all, we couldn't go look for some place to rent because of our work schedules. We were working. I was going to school and working, and he was working out in Orange County and up here. And so the schedule was so hard, and we were stressed about this because we had 2 weeks left before we had to move. And so we're driving around, and I'm really bad with directions, and I said, I remember this neighborhood in Camarillo, and I really liked it. And he said, do you know how to get there? No, not really, but we could try. And we suddenly, the Holy Spirit came on both of us. There was joy and laughter in the car. We're not stressed. We threw away the list of the rentals that we were going to look at. And we found this place in Camarillo, and we drove down the street that I remembered suddenly, and there's a for sale sign, and it's an open house. And we said, oh, well, let's go look. It was like so out of character, so not us. And then when I walked over the threshold, the Lord said, this is the home that I've provided for you. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what to do with that. And so they're talking, the realtor's talking, they're showing Wes around, and Wes is, whispering things about that need to get fixed. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God spoke, this is our home. I don't know how we're going to get it. I don't know how we do this.
So how did that happen?
Still new in the Lord.
How did that happen? They accept our offer, and so we need to come up with, tens of thousands of dollars for down payment and all this stuff.
Well, first of all, when they accepted the offer, they told us, yes, we'll accept your offer, but we want you to have a 4-month escrow. We thought, okay.
Yeah, that's good. Four months. Okay. We can do 4 months.
I don't get that either. So they said you can move in this weekend and you can rent it. And it's like lease to own. So, okay.
Yeah. But in the meantime, one of my clients won $100 million in the lotto.
And he gets paid in commission. And
so I invested all this, well, not all of the money, you know. By the time they got the cash, I was able to invest the money and got this huge commission check. And we had our down payment.
And not till the end, you know.
Not till the end.
I'm learning this hilarity with the Lord. It's like, okay, we hear from the Lord, and then there's this waiting period, and I start doubting, and I start thinking, what have we done? I'm telling him, is this illegal? I mean, what have we done? And so, you know, I mean, we have no clue how this is going to work out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then the owners were calling, the realtor was saying, you know, the owners are wondering, you have the money, right? We will have the money. And, you know, the last week, the Lord provided in one amount, just the total amount for us
just
to
one,
begin
one
our new
transaction,
life.
Just boom.
I think the hilarity of God, it's always, what I've noticed is, it's when we're being pressed. We are being crushed. It is when I can't see, I don't have a clue how we are going to survive the pressing. And then God shows up big, and we don't deserve it. It has humbled me every time the Lord shows up, first by bringing my husband, me being a born-again Christian now, and having eternal life, having our daughter that was, you know, the doctor even said, I don't know how this happened. I can't explain this. I said, that's okay, I know.
Yeah,
but
she was on the list, you know, that list of prophecies. Nikki was on the list. Yeah. So was my music. Right. I wasn't writing music back then, and he prophesied that I'd be writing music and it'd be going all over the place. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, you know.
What does that mean?
Yeah, but that's God, you know. It's to we think back on it now and we're thinking, well, he really works in funny ways, doesn't he? You know, he does. You know, that's the hilarity of God. What was the meaning, the definition that you looked up?
Oh, I was thinking when you said hilarity, I'm thinking, okay, do I know what that means? I know joy and laughter and, you know, kind of being silly, but it's a radical prosperity. I looked in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's lively. It's favor. It's God's favor. It says in the dictionary, the old dictionary, God's favor, his willingness to bless us. And I thought, wow. Wow.
That is prophetic.
You are.
Yeah. So those are a few of the vignettes of the hilarity of God in our lives. There's so many testimonies. It's fun.
I find just the creative ways that God leads us, you know, and when it always seems that when I don't have a clue what's going on, God is leading us. And then you get it, then you see the blessing, and then you feel so undeserving of it. Like, I didn't have any faith. I didn't pray. I didn't do this. I didn't do anything. I just received. And that is his goodness and his grace for each of us. God has burst into our lives and our marriage in so many unexpected, radical ways. But throughout our marriage, right from the get-go, there's been disappointments. There have been many sufferings. There have been many disappointments. There's been many postponements. There have been lots of transitions. And I'm getting good at transition. But the older I get, the harder it is. And we're in transition again, you know. Yeah. But I fully believe God will show up as he always does.
Yeah.
We've learned to lean into him. And as the songs from the worship today, and just as you were talking, the pressing in and leaning in and soaking in his presence has been the way we deal with our battles. And we've discovered worship together. Like I never understood worship before. And it's just funny to me that God would bring us together. We are so different in so many ways. And those things that, I think for marriage, when we bring this into marriage, those things that were attractive because they're quirky and unusual or a little different, and okay, I can deal with that. But 15 years later, it's like, that annoys me. That needs to change. And it's not going to. But
but the thing is that, you know, when God puts people together, it's like at the dinner table, you don't need two forks necessarily or two spoons. You need a fork and a spoon, you know. So if, I know in Thailand, they always eat with a fork and a spoon at the same time, you know. So here we are, a fork and a spoon, you know. We're like as different as you can be, you know. I'm finding out that I am, what do you call me?
I'm
a producer.
Yeah, he gets things done, and that's great.
You know, yeah, you know, I see something that needs to be done, and I'm like a bulldog. Okay, that's got to get done. Okay.
I call it a freight train. I just, you know, like, what are you doing? What, like, is
I get focused
else?
On it, focus. And that's going to get done. It's going to get done, you know.
Well, I grew up in boating, and I look at it like this. I feel like he's a freighter. He's a cargo ship. He's got an agenda. He's got a schedule. He's focused on it, and he is not stopping. He's not going to move. If that thing has to shift, it's going to move slowly and precisely. And it is not stopping until the job is done. I am more like a little sailboat. I like, okay, let's put up the sails. Where's the wind? And I follow the wind. And I'm okay being creative. I get things done, but it just looks different than it when he gets things done. And so, and I'm okay with that. But
it's an adjustment.
And now he's home more because he's almost retired. And so, like, when I clean the house, I'm sure when people come over, if I'm in the middle of cleaning house, they're thinking, this is utter chaos. And he thinks that, but I get it all done. By the end of the day, it's all done. But there's just these differences that we've had to work out. And I find that when life is pressing us, these differences become bigger issues. They become more challenging. Again, just go before the Lord. We've just learned to press into him. And he's using everything. We're trusting him with everything. And he's using everything to create in us that new heart and prepare our hearts to receive and steward the outpouring of that blessing that is coming.
Amen.
So,
amen.
We're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time. Are we out of time? We're out of time.
2 minutes.
The latest song that I wrote is out of Galatians. And it's, you know, something that we're learning. It's, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and then it goes on to talk about, you know, the freedom of the Spirit, you know, and that's what happens after the crucifixion is the resurrection, you know. And this is what we get to look forward to. And in our marriage, it's constant, you know. Things die. New things get resurrected, you know. God introduces new things, scary things. You know, it's always like any time that we are facing something super scary, it's usually God saying, I'm requiring a little bit more faith here, you know. So, you know, you never get used to it. But you know, you kind of become a little bit more bold to walk into it, you know. And we're learning, you know, it's like, what was it you were saying today about, like, we went through a time when we didn't have anything for a long time, and she was getting frustrated because the jam jar just, you know, she wanted to throw away the jam jar, but it never emptied. And the same thing with the mayonnaise jar, and same thing with the peanut butter.
And the laundry detergent.
It never emptied, you know. And then she realized, oh, that's the Lord.
And I'm praying, and I'm actually complaining to the Lord. And I'm thinking, as I spoke, Lord, these jars are annoying me. They won't empty. And I'm thinking, because I, you know, we bring the jam out. Okay, Wes, here, have jam on your toast, whether you want it or not. You know, tonight, today it'll be finished. Then we can throw this jar away. And the same with the other things, laundry detergent, all kinds of things. And so, if it, with this, both of us are eating toast with jam on it, whether we want it or not, for a week, and it still is not empty. And I just, I'm complaining to the Lord. I have all these jars that are almost empty, and I want to throw them away and open the new ones. And then I realized, when I said that, oh my God, I mean, I fell on my knees and crying. You're showing me something. Your provision. There is nothing you won't do for us. And how many ways you can do it?
Okay, so many ways. Okay, we're done.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys, quick question. What year did you get those prophecies?
1994-ish.
94, 95.
So. Yeah,
congratulations.
We crossed 25 years. So it's almost 25 years ago.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So while the Pambakians are coming up, I just wanted to point out, thank you guys. Thank you. Let's give them a thank you clap. Two things. God didn't give them the lotto ticket. Okay? So many times we're looking for the Lord to meet us in a specific way, and the answer's sitting behind us, and we're looking for it over here, complaining that we don't see it the way we're expecting it to come. But the Lord provided the way the Lord said he was going to provide. The Lord said, you will buy a house in a year, and the Lord provided. They didn't get the lotto ticket. Okay? So, again, we have to pray, Lord, keep our eyes open. The other thing is, those prophecies were 25 years old, and now Wes's music is going around the world 25 years later. So we're an impatient people. We hear the prophecy, and we're like, okay, tomorrow. Okay, maybe next week. I'm being so patient, God. And he was answering their prayers all along the way. He's been ticking off that list for them in 25 years, and it's not done, right? More to come. Oh, amen. And he builds on it. All right, well, here are my friends, Jacques and Yvonne Pambakian. I call them the Clambakians. So, yeah, Pambakian came from Clambakian. That's just a little thing with me and them. I love these guys. They're amazing. Let's welcome them.
And the only reason why we can be called a Clambake is because also our jars never empty. I mean, Jack cooks for a feast every week, and there's always more meat growing out of that refrigerator. It's like there's a lamb being slaughtered by someone in that, because that's all he eats is filet mignon and lamb. Can you imagine that? Well, you know, what's funny is...
It's a tough life.
Yeah. What's funny is, I think it was May that I told you, Diana, that there was a song I heard on that conference from Bethel when Heaven Invades Earth, that was the song of Jubilee. This song describes what we've all been going through for the last 3 years plus, you know? And the song is the wine song. And I told her, it was something about pouring out on the altar. It was this, it was that. And she goes, oh, Yvonne, I'm going to have to look. I go, you better look, because that's our song. That is what we've been through. What I remember when I first became charismatic, somebody gave me a book of Joel Osteen. And the first chapter was about the wineskins. And one of the things that stuck out is that the old wineskin had to be unsewn, soaked in oil, rubbed, and re-sewn inside out. And then I realized, my God, you're going to do that to me? In 2008, you're going to unsew me and re-sew me up? You know how hard it was to get me to 2008? It was really hard.
Honey, we only have 10 minutes.
I know. But in 2008, first of all, Diana is super prophetic. Super prophetic. When she texted me the other night saying, will you come up with Jack? I said, yes. And I knew it was a God appointed time, because what Jack and I have is something that needs to be heard, okay? And then I finally text, because this guy's getting stressed to the max. I said, what exactly are we going to talk about? And she goes, well, this, that, whatever you want. So I said, okay, here we go. But in 2008, I thought I wanted to go into the charismatic renewal through the Catholic Church. I'm living in Italy, going to missionary school. And God says, you're getting married. You're not going to become a nun. You know, you are getting married. And I go, I'm what? He goes, yes, you're getting married. And the guy I'm giving you, he's going to be a sheikh of the desert. I did not know he meant Lebanon, even though that's not really a desert. But you get the picture. Camel jockey, that whole thing, you know? But, well, you know what I mean.
We don't have camels in Lebanon.
They don't, but that's desert. Lebanon to me is desert. But I didn't think that way. I was like, oh, you mean my guy's going to suffer a lot, and he's going to become the king of the desert? Wow. And he goes, yeah, and a lot of intercession for this guy. A lot of intercession. I'm going to take out his teeth. I'm going to give him new teeth. He's going to speak a new way. He's going to think a new way. He's a prince of a prince. I was like, wow. So then somebody walked, floated by, and I thought, that's my husband. So for 8 years, I interceded for somebody who never talked to me. Diana knows exactly who that person is, not in this country. And I would pray for this person. And no matter how much she talked to me, that's not the guy. I couldn't hear it. God said, so it is. And I prayed and interceded. He said, 2008, it's the Exodus prayer. So I prayed Exodus over him. 2010, it's the year of testing for him. So I prayed the testing prayer. 2011, I crossed the line with everybody else in the Azusa Revival in, we were there. Crossed the line, he crossed the line. 12 is the year of seeing the first fruits of that. Well, in 2016, God said, well, you know that guy that I kind of let you believe all this time was going to be for you? He's not. You need to go on Match.com, because that's where you're going to find him. I go, did I hear you right? Yep. Halt the prayers. Go that way and test me. Within a few days, you're going to meet him. So I put all the difficult pictures, me jumping out of planes, me diving, me this, me that, you know, things that would only scare everybody, not him. After 3 days on it, he responded. You want to start? Or should I keep going?
Well, you always do the talking. We know that. Well, yeah, we did meet on Match.com. This is not an infomercial, guys. We're at church. But I can tell you from my own experience, prior to joining this beautiful family of Jubilee here, I was a single dad. Some of you know my son, Jacob. He was, at that time, he was 5 years old, and I raised him pretty much all by myself, besides my other five kids, anyway. We were attending every Sunday to a church in Burbank. It's called Worship Walk. Kind of similar to this, but not the crazy flags or dancing, nothing like that. And every time, you know, the pastor finishes, he says, whoever wants to come forward, you know, say your prayer. And obviously, everybody who had any kind of illness would ask for healing, all kinds of stuff. My prayer was to have a family again. I had my son. I've been divorced. And I just wanted that beautiful wife to join me and raise this child together as a family. So that was my prayer every single Sunday, nothing else. After a while, I decided also to go on Match. Prior to going on Match, I went to a site called Christian Mingle, but there was nothing Christian about it. But, you know, I saw Yvonne's profile, and the most important thing for me was to find the woman that was going to complete my faith in God, compete me spiritually. And that was what's lacking in my life. I dated more women than I can count on my hand. But when I saw Yvonne for the first time, I knew she was going to be the one. And she laughed when I told her that, but...
Well, let's slow it down. I'm on it 3 days. The first time I hit like on one picture, just once, he responds within seconds. Before I know it, I'm out on a date with Jack. And, I could see him just like looking at me, kind of like he's taking in a huge investment. He had that funny face, and I'm like, no way, I don't think we're a match, no way. You know, he's so trim, all lines are perfect. I mean, and I'm all over the place. I said, nah, we're not a match. But he was looking at me. And when we're waiting for the parked car to come, you know, for the valet to bring the car, and he reached over to kiss me, my leg popped up, my hair literally lifted. Okay?
What'd you expect?
I felt heaven and earth shift and ignite like, and I said, my soul said, you traitors, what are you doing? He's not the one. You know, you guys give in so easily. What happened to the 8 years worth of prayer? This is not the guy, guys. Knock it off. So anyways, I go back to my sister's house, and she goes, so is it a match? I go, no, we're just too different. But he asked me out again. And on the second time we go out, he pretty much drove me by the church we're getting married. He goes, we're getting married at that church. And they're going to put these crowns on us, and they're going to tie the crowns together.
I didn't know I could prophesy those days. Now I know.
And he went on and on and on about how we were getting married. I go, you're crazy. I just met you. You don't tell somebody. Don't you know the rules? You don't tell somebody on the second date you're going to marry them. He goes, well, God told me you're going to be my wife. I go, well, Diana said that if God doesn't tell me, it ain't true. And he's not telling me. And anyways, we went on for a couple of more weeks, and then Jack told me the truth about all the kids, all the things, and it was just so much for me to take in that I said, Jack, let's just be friends for a while. Because you're, first of all, I want to get my money's worth out of Match.com. I paid for the 8 months subscription.
And you got 2 free dinners out of it.
And, excuse me, I'm looking for somebody that's in Thousand Oaks, no little children, you know, free. And, you know, I just don't think, you know, I just want my money's worth right now. So let's just stay friends. So I jogged around, met some people.
She's so nice.
He somewhat wandered off, met some people, but he always checked in on me every month. How's it going? You know.
I used to send her messages in French.
Yes.
Ma chérie, comment ça va? Tu vas bien?
And I would Google Translate back, fine.
All right. Anyway, okay. I got to cut you off.
Okay. So this is the meat of the story. Nothing worked out where I went to go find my relationship.
Of course
and
not.
As I'm sitting there in front of the fireplace, woe is me type of thing with God, he says, stop chasing what doesn't want you, and what wants you will actually catch up to you. And I said, okay, and boom, he texts, like within seconds. And then he started off, well, hey, do you miss me, you know? And I answered back, yes. And then he asked a couple other things, and I wasn't running away like I normally would brush him off, and I could see he was confused. And then the conversation started up again. But one of the funny conversations or serious conversations I had with God was in front of the fireplace. I said, Lord, is the man that you have for me, is he going to have your smile? And God's like, well, yeah, he's going to have my smile. I said, God, is the man you have for me, is he going to be generous and kind and understanding like you are? He goes, absolutely, he's going to be that way. I said, is he going to be as good looking as you? And he goes, well, we can make that happen. And then I went to the other parts that was most important, because a lot of people here in Jubilee come broken, but then they leave once they get married or find their mate. They don't stay. Not all of them, but most that I noticed. I said, will she love Jubilee as much or more than I do? Will Jubilee love him? Because that was important to me. And God said, absolutely. They will marry him, and he will marry them. And he will be generous. He'll be a Boaz to the church. And I said, wow, wow. So when we started talking.
Of course, I don't hear any of this, right?
So when we started talking, immediately within day one after a year went by, we were together, and we've been together ever since. But I had to sit him down and said, look, you got to understand, I'm no ordinary human being. I'm an extraordinary woman who walks in lights and wonders. And I might as well tell you now, though, all the miracles have happened in my life, because I need to know you can live with this. And you can live with the ones that come with it, too. And I explained, you know, I've been on radio for XYZ, and this is what I taught. So can you live with that? Because my name is everywhere. Can you live with that? Yes. I've been through missionary fields here, there, and everywhere, and this and that and that. My house has about 100 people that come on a Tuesday night to get set free in the spirit. Can you live with that? Can you live in that kind of a household? And he goes, yes, I can. And I go, and
I didn't know better those days.
So anyways, after we were married, we spent a year deprogramming the religion out of him. Because Jack comes from a beautiful religious family, you know, where his uncle's a bishop of an area. And to get the charismatic side, to get the side of Jesus, the kind that, you know, the hippie movement, that thing, it was not easy, because sometimes Jack's factual mind would get away. Well, 2 + 2 = 4. It can never be one, or it can never be this, you know? It was one of those things. But little by little, well, I guess Jack had no choice. Life had so many turns that he had to live in signs and wonders. He had to live where one time we had 3 mugs. We're just married. We're still in Burbank. And there's 3 mugs of Disneyland. And all 3 bottoms of the mugs fall within a week. They just fell out. Like if somebody took a razor and just cut it out.
The bottoms fell off.
Out of these cups.
All 3 at the same time.
And I said, Jack, our life is about to lose its bottom. But we're still holding the handle. So we're not completely done. It just doesn't hold the stuff in it. And within days, we lost our son. The DCFS took the child right out of our home. And he's been out of our home for 1.5 years. The accusations of him being a horrible parent have been so damaging to our family, you know? But with prayer, with moving forward, we're seeing changes in the DCFS. We're seeing hearts change. We're seeing families growing. I mean, we have prayed up and down these offices and these places. I mean, everybody who's ever had anything to do with those people can understand how horrible they are with families. They vanish, complete families. I mean, it's terrible. But nonetheless, we've won every single time, and we're still winning.
Thank God for that, yes.
And last weekend, we had our first weekend with Jacob back in our home.
I guess he was on Sunday.
Here.
Right here where he belongs.
Here. Yeah, here. And we replaced those cups that lost the bottoms that on Saturday, and we bought our season passes to Disneyland. And we didn't buy the cheap ones. We bought the expensive ones because that's where we live now. You know, no limits. No limits. And we know that when we use this up, God will replace it. It's just his nature. It is just in his nature. I mean, today was really hard for us to come up here because we got another boomerang sent our way through the DCFS. We were supposed to have Jacob again this weekend, but Mother decides she doesn't want to, and she always seems to have that win. Every time she says something, they tend to do it what she wants. And Jack's like, here we go again, getting, you know, our seams undone again. And again, I said to him, everybody's singing, we need to put down that flame we had last week, and we need to pick up new flame. It's a new battle. You know, it's a new movement.
This the subject of Jacob is very difficult for me to talk about, because, you know, when you go through so many hurdles in life, whether it's economics, losing a house, losing a car, somebody breaking in, you know, those things are easy to deal with. When it comes to a child, I mean, who would not give their right hand for this saving a child? And for me, it was very, very difficult to deal with. It still is. But I've learned a lot because of my support group here at church, my family, my second family. I have a beautiful wife that's always supportive of me also. And when I'm down, what I've learned from this church and Pastor Steve and Diana and Pastor Brian and Becky and all the wonderful people that I'm very close with, I've learned, and I'm practicing still because I haven't mastered it. Every time I get hit with this freight train or whatever you call it, instead of looking down and being miserable, I am looking up still. Because I know Jesus is with me. He is with me. He's always going to be with me. He's never going to forsake me. I know that. And the three things that I go through, and these, it's kind of like a circle for me, these three words: faith, trust, and hope. I put my hope in my Christ. And because I trust him, my faith gets stronger. When my faith gets stronger, my hope gets bigger. My hopes gets bigger because I trust him even more. And I know deep in my heart that my son will forever be in my house again. I know that because that's God's son. And he is going to be there. And that's the prophecy that I've heard. So it takes a belief, trust, and a hope. And with that, you'll never lose.
One of the things that I definitely have learned, and we were talking about Wes before we came here. We didn't even know that Wes and his wife were going to speak tonight, was his daughter Nikki was sick for most of the time that I knew her. And a lot of prayer went for her health. And I said, Jack, it felt like 5 or 6 years this child was always in the hospital, everybody always having emergency prayer for her. But now she's sick no more. No more. And her life is so straight. I mean, her life is like they interceded for things to come that, you know, they couldn't even see coming. And I said that all those prayers actually helped her, like Nineveh was helped through the prayers of Jonah. You know what I mean? Those prayers. I said, so all the prayers that I said in this direction for him, it delivered him out of all those places. It brought him to my life. You know what I mean? So those prayers for this other person weren't wasted. He was hearing it. These prayers for Jacob, they're not wasted. This kid's going to be somebody. And you know what? And these prayers are going to help him get to that place. And so that's something that we wanted to leave the congregation is your prayers are never wasted. You may have the subject wrong, but the noun will come. You know what I mean? It will fall on the right direction. And never give up. Never get up. It's never hopeless. God is always there. Jack and I only know one word, up. We've never been lateral or descending. It's always been up. And on the first night that we got back together after a year, it was New Year's Eve, and it was a place where they had all the Middle Eastern countries. They had Lebanon. They had Syria. They had
Egypt,
all of them were dancing and celebrating together while people were being murdered and bombed in other countries from these groups, right? And here we are eating and celebrating with all of them. And this place looked like a palace. And one of the specialties of this place was they had chandeliers that represented all the places of the world. Like they had the Taj Mahal chandelier that looked like the Taj Mahal. Can you imagine that? Anyways, we finally hit the dance floor.
I take her fancy places, you guys.
Yes, you do.
And for the first time in our life, they asked us, here, would you like to pull the rope on and drop the balloons on everybody at the stroke of midnight? I said, Jack, do you understand if we say yes, and we say yes to us, this is what we're going to be doing to people throughout our marriage, dropping balloons over their heads, new beginnings, new years, new plantings. And God gave us that word just two weeks ago. That's our ministry. Our ministry is don't get involved in anybody's business, but throw mercy, have a river constantly flowing to them. I mean, it's just a beautiful mission that the Lord has us on. And we're just grateful that we're seeing it. And that's our story.
If I could share one more thing. Back in March of 2018, I had shoulder surgery, and I couldn't lift my arm. This one I couldn't lift before. And I was disabled for a while, and I wasn't going to work. But every morning, even though I wasn't working, we still get up at 5 a.m., have our coffee, and then Yvonne and I will have communion every morning, both of us. And then daily, we used to attend the Catholic Church down the street, 8 o'clock service. And it was one day where they had a special thing for Virgin Mary mm-hmm. in Catholic Church. I was on my knees praying, and I saw Jesus. He is exactly how I thought he would be, whatever I've seen in kids' movies even, wearing his white robe, long hair. And he opened his arms to me, and I asked him, do you know me? He says, I know you, Jacques. He called me with my own name. And for me, there's no other event in my life that I can say has been more impacting as far as where I've been walking since then. Because that day was so special. I want to relive it every single day. And every day I pray, hey, where you been? I want to see you again. Yeah. But I went through that. I went through that experience. And it's a wonderful experience. And a month later, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I take a piece of paper and a pencil, and I write something. And I believe I gave that to Diana. I actually wrote a poem. And if I remember at least the two important sentences from it. My last name is Christ. My blood type is Jesus. So if you could dwell on those two sentences, if you visualize that your blood type is Jesus and your last name is Christ, we belong to his kingdom and we belong to his bloodline. So having that inside me is my ultimate protection. I'm not afraid of anything or anyone. So if the snake wants to bite me, I said, go ahead. Guess what I have in there? Guess what you're going to get out of it? Take another bite out of it. And you know what's going to happen to the snake. So, amen to that. You can have the last say, amen.
Well, the last prophetic word I've been writing on from this week is that God is exhaling right now. And his breath is pulling us out of captivity. He's pulling us into new lands. He says that he is putting fire in places all around that need movement and release, that the wind is so strong coming from the east to the west. The angels are carrying our children on their shoulders. He's commanded the north wind and the south wind to not hold back the winds of east and west because they're coming home.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
And with that, let's pray. Lord, you're weaving all of our stories into the beautiful tapestry of your kingdom plan for the earth. Thank you that you have called us here for this moment, this time, in this place, to be part of the beautiful bride that you are shaping us to be for your son. Keep expanding our hearts, Lord. In your mercy, Holy Spirit, show us the carpet in our lives, the place we're resisting the move of your spirit, God, because it scares us or frightens us, because it's foreign to us, Lord. And let us trust you to be our shield and our safe place. And may we stay rooted and grounded in love, so that all that pours out of us is the love of Jesus, so that the fruit hanging on our trees will be the bread that you're giving to the nations, Lord. And it will be the fruit of love, the fruit of Jesus. Let us trust you, Father, as you begin to bring them in to do the work of cleansing. We're to do the work of loving, and you will do the work of cleansing, God. So expand our hearts today, God. Let us remember, just as Jack said, our last name is Christ. And it is the blood of Jesus that runs through our veins now. We are yours, and we are most grateful, God. Go before us all week long, Holy Spirit. Remind us of these nuggets. Remind us of this prophecy. You are exhaling, and that exhale is drawing us exactly where you desire us to be. Soak us in oil, that you can pour your new wine into each one of us for your glory, for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.